Tuesday, and that means it's time for Riley Gates, our K-State insider and former high school football and basketball star.
Venary fumbles the snap, picks it back up. Pressure comes from Luke Eilert. He backs into the end zone, and Blue Jays are going to get two more points. Riley Gates back there, as well as Caleb Brummer.
Okay, so he isn't Darren Sproles or Dean Wade. Cool last name, by the way. But Riley's knowledge knows no bounds.
I love Whataburger. I really like the patty melt. The patty melt is really good. It's like a double burger, so you get the traditional burger. You're not going with chicken or anything like that. But just kind of the sauce that's on the patty melt. I really like it.
And he's already working on his political career.
We never lied. I don't know what you're talking about. We were never liars.
It's Go PowerCat's very own Riley Gates. Brought to you by Hanson Auction and Realty in Beloit. And by Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Right now on the Sports Ticket.
It is a Tuesday. That music means it's time to talk to Riley Gates at GoPowerCat.com. We do this every Tuesday talking K-State Wildcat Athletics. He's our Wildcat insider. Riley, how you doing today, man?
Good. It's been a bit of a stressful last night, I guess you could say. A little bit of working the phone, so to speak. But good. It's a new day. Got some rest and ready to go at it again today.
Well, it's
got to
be a tough job, you know, screaming at other people that aren't Dallas Cowboy fans or calling up Jerry Jones. So you think Mr. Garrett should keep his job there?
Oh, my God. That's what you want. Yeah. Dude, don't even, like, of everything that I have an opinion on in sports, I feel nothing stronger than the fact that Jason Garrett should be fired. I am so frustrated.
Okay, Dusty, there's your question. That's the answer you expected, right, Dusty? Yes, that's what he thought. Yep, absolutely. We were just talking about that earlier today. I don't know how he's had a job that long with the Cowboys myself, but he must have dirt on Jerry
when you're
Jones,
in Jerry Jones'
I guess.
Left pocket, I mean.
I guess. I thought Jerry liked the win and wanted the win. I don't get it either. Oh, well, let's move on to the situation with Kansas State. And another tough loss, 14-13. Tons of special teams mishaps. And Coach Snyder, without calling his name, virtually called out and threw a player under the bus after the game. Now, he backtracked later on, and, of course, he said a lot of different things at the Big 12 teleconference yesterday that I heard. Your take on all of this, because it doesn't come across well to those that already are a little bit upset with Coach Snyder. Now, there are people that are going to be in Coach Snyder's camp no matter what, but I think that faction is dwindling a little bit with each and every week. But for him to go about the way he did and completely protect his son when it comes to special teams, not throwing them under the bus when it was a collective failure by special teams, but then to point out an individual seemed to be extremely unfair.
Man, you know, that is the biggest thing. You know, that was the most glaring part of that game. I mean, you hate to sit here and say one or two mistakes really changes the outcome of a game, but if you don't play that bad in special teams, you win that game. I mean, there were too many mistakes in all aspects. And, you know, let me preface this by saying that Isaiah Zuber is not good as a returner this year. Outside of the one punt return that he had in the first week to beat South Dakota, I mean, he really has not been that effective as a punt returner or a kick returner. He's been making bad decisions. He's been fumbling the ball, things like that. So, in my opinion, he shouldn't even be back there. But Sean Snyder, Bill Snyder, are the two guys that keep putting him back there to make those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So while you want to, if you want to point to what Isaiah Zuber is doing and really fault him for things, fault yourself for putting him in the position to fail. You know, I think he has to take some of that responsibility. And to see him push it all off on Isaiah Zuber was absolutely ridiculous because, you know, I don't want to sit here and point fingers necessarily, but Colby Moore had two mistakes on holds of field goals, one on the extra point, one on the missed field goal. So why are we not, you know, blaming him instead? I mean, this isn't a situation where you should ever single out, you know, one player when you're the coach making the decision to put them in that position to fail. Yes, kids need to be held responsible. I mean, they're 18, 19, 20-year-olds. They're big boys. They can take it. But to single Isaiah Zuber out in a loss, a 14-13 loss where you had bad holds on field goals, you had missed field goals, you had bad decisions on returns, unawareness on punts, you know, standing in the end zone and catching a fair catch. I mean, the list goes on. And for Bill Snyder to stand up there and, you know, he accidentally blamed Zuber. He realized what he did right when he did it. But the fact that he did it was, you know, nothing short of, I guess I want to say, sickening. I mean, it was really disturbing to see him do that.
Well, and the one thing he said was the winning touchdown. That was the first touchdown of the game, and K-State came back and tied the game. That wasn't the winning touchdown. I mean, I sometimes start to wonder what's going on with Coach Snyder. I mean, you know, he is getting up there in age, obviously, and you start to wonder, because making a comment like that, that's the winning touchdown. He apparently watched a whole different game than we did.
You know, I don't want to start rumors. I'm just kind of going off what I'm saying. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't think that the Sean Snyder for head coach campaign was as loud anymore. I kind of thought it had died down, and maybe even Bill Snyder had come to accept that. And this is all pure speculation, but based on what we're seeing right now, you know, him throwing Skylar Thompson under the bus, throwing Isaiah Zuber under the bus, you know, week after week it seems like he's blaming somebody else and never acknowledging the fact that the special teams is bad. You know, I asked him about special teams, and all he said was, we need to get better. It seems like he's going out of his way to not throw special teams under the bus as a whole. Mm-hmm. And why? Because Sean Snyder's in charge of special teams. So maybe that's a crazy conspiracy theory. Maybe I'm reading way too much into it, but I think that there might be a little bit of that going on there.
Well, and we got Riley Gates with us, GoPowerCat.com. He's with us every Tuesday, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. You know, I kind of get that a little bit, but and this is hard to say, because I think Bill Snyder's a pretty smart guy. I think he's just extremely frustrated, disappointed, and doesn't really have the answers and what buttons to push with this team. And so he said some things here in the press conferences that are certainly more entertaining and intriguing than what he usually would say back in the day. So in that case, I guess it's good for us sports talk people to discuss it. But couldn't it just be simply that I think Bill Snyder's smart enough to know that Sean Snyder's not going to be the head coach at Kansas State, especially when you're 3-6. Like, if Kansas State was en route to a Big 12 title or going to go to a big bowl game, like right now, if they were 7-2, okay, there would be some credence to say, well, you keep somebody on the staff to take over for Bill if he retires, because we got it going in the right direction. But that's not the case here. And I think Bill would have to be smart enough to understand Sean Snyder's not going to take over for him if he retires at the end of this year, if it continues to go the way it is. Could it just be that Bill Snyder is being a protective father? That he's simply, hey, he's my son. I know how hard he works. I watch him work in the office. I know he's trying like a Dickens to get this figured out. It's not working out, and I'm simply not going to blame my son and forget the fact about whether he's going to be the heir apparent head coach at K-State. Would that be possible?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it definitely could be possible. I think no matter how much you consider yourself a professional, no matter how much you remove yourself from that father-son relationship in a job like this, it's always going to be there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just human fault. I mean, that's not Bill Snyder's fault. That's just what you're going to do as an instinctive father, and I get it. But also, you got to realize this is a performance-based business.
Yes.
And while Sean Snyder has been very strong in the special teams in years past, and, you know, here's the thing. He gets the credit for the Tyler Lockett's, the Morgan Burns's that have come through and been great All-American returners. But people forget that guys like Dana Demmel, Andre Coleman, were maybe more of a piece of the return game. And Sean handles more of the kicking and punting. And granted, you know, guys like Nick Walsh, Matthew McCrane, they've been fantastic kickers under Sean Snyder. But you can't sit here and give him all this praise for years, praise him for what he does for the special teams, and then in the worst year of special teams, heck, ever, you know, in the entire 17 years he's been the head coach, this is the worst special teams has been, I think. And to not, you know, acknowledge that he's struggling, I think it screams, I guess for lack of a better term, that you're turning a blind eye to. You know, I don't think if the offense was struggling this much, I don't think he would ever have any trouble calling out Andre Coleman for it. We saw him throw Dana Demmel under the bus multiple times. So I think it's getting to the point where you need to say, hey, look, I understand you're looking out for your son here, but your son's unit is just awful, and something's got to change.
Well, and some of that, of course, could go to lack of talent, or not coaching up the guys you have, or not recruiting as well as they should have. Let's go back to the Zuber situation. from what I read, maybe you can correct me, but Coach Snyder was asked if he had talked to Zuber after that or whatever else, and it sounds like there hasn't been a conversation. And I'm not so worried about Isaiah Zuber from this. I get it. I mean, if I was Zuber, I'd be a little bit upset. You know, like you said, they put me out there. I'm doing the best I can. If they have a problem with me, then don't put me out there. And then you throw me under the bus like I single-handedly lost the game. When I look around, there's mistakes being made left and right just by special teams. We're not even talking about offense, defense, because there's mistakes there too, as with every game. But what about the reflection of the comments he makes alluding to Zuber? How does that affect the rest of the team? Because if I'm a member of the Kansas State football team, I've got to sit here and go, man, am I next? If I make a mistake, am I going to be called out next week after the game? It's just not good for team morale, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, and, you know, this has been going on for quite some time. It started with the quarterback situation, Alex Delton and Skylar Thompson, and that kind of split the locker room a little bit. Not so much that people were on Skylar's side, people were on Alex's side, more just the fact that, you know, Skylar was doing a great job and he wasn't getting the praise. Well, now it's kind of carrying over to more things. You know, he calls them a kindergarten tackling team at Oklahoma. And, you know, right or wrong, he throws them under the bus like that. And then obviously the situation where he throws Zuber under the bus. I know it's starting to not sit well with players in the locker room. You know, I think he's been, starting to get on thin ice with some of the players. And I know that sounds weird, the head coach getting on players' thin ice, but, you know, as a head coach, you're as a player, you want to know that your head coach backs you up, mm-hmm. supports you. I don't think there's anything wrong with criticism. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that, you know, this player, that player needs to do better. But there is a line, and I don't think that Bill Snyder has been very graceful on that line this year. And, you know, the players know they're not playing well. They know this isn't a good team. They know they're not doing what is expected of them. But to essentially feel like your coach doesn't support you, to feel like you're not being put in the best position to win and then be blamed for it, you know, as a player, I really can't blame them for, you know, maybe being unhappy with him if that's the case.
And if they're unhappy, then you wonder about the effort, which we saw some issues, obviously, at Oklahoma. Go Powercats, Riley Gates, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company every Tuesday here on the Sports Ticket. Now, there are rumors, and here's the thing. We know that there are rumors flying all the time, but there have been a lot of rumors here the last couple of days, within the last 24 hours, that Bill Snyder was going to have a team meeting last night and make some kind of announcement. Nothing has come about based on anything that occurred last night. And so when you have some unknowns with, one, Coach Snyder and what he wants to do and the way this team is going, people speculate a lot. Is there anything that you've heard that you can substantiate in regards to any kind of announcement or anything on the horizon or the near term with Kansas State football?
You know, nothing in terms of an official announcement, nothing in terms of things I'm ready to go, you know, report right now. You know, I will say, and I need to be careful how I word this. You know, I would say that I got some texts, got some calls last night from some people that I would consider to be an informed person on this thing. And they said that they did, you know, get calls, they did get texts that coach was going to be making some sort of a retirement announcement. But I'll also preface that by saying I don't know if those people got those phone calls, got those text messages independently, or if they got them from somebody that said that based on what they read on a message board. You know what I'm saying
mm-hmm.
there?
Yeah.
So it's very tough right now to decipher what is all true, what is all actually going down right now, and what is all being built up because of a message board rumor. And that's kind of the business that we're in right now. That's kind of what we need to work on deciphering through. I don't think it's a matter of if it happens. I think it's a matter of when it happens and how it happens. You know, I posted something on our website last night. I've been told that phones have been banned in the Vanier Football Complex, and I think that's because they want to avoid anything getting leaked out by a player. So it's definitely an interesting time. I think we're within a small time window when it's going to happen. It could happen today. I mean, maybe he's planning on announcing it right here at today's press conference, and we'll roll with it then. But I don't know when it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. I need to get a more definitive timeline, more definitive word before we can go with anything.
Sure. No, I totally understand that and respect that. And that's what you have to do as a journalist. Totally get it. All right. So KU and K-State, that's the matchup coming up. I hesitate to say Sunflower Showdown when both teams are 3-6. So this is the thing that I've been trying to figure out. Kansas announced that they're firing David Beatty, but he's going to stay on as coach the last three games. What impact, if any, do you think the firing of David Beatty has on K-State's situation right now?
In terms of who they're going to hire?
In terms of their coaching situation with Bill Snyder, whether he retires, doesn't retire, what the plans are next year, does this speed up the process a little bit in trying to know which way K-State's going to go when KU's already announced that they are going to change coaches? Because one of the reasons they said that they announced it like this during the season was a recruiting period. Jeff Long said that as well, because right now Kansas wasn't getting any recruits because everybody knew David Beatty was dead man walking. Certainly for Kansas State, I think they're getting hurt on recruiting trail because many people will say, you know, recruiting against Bill Snyder, listen, why are you going to go to K-State? You don't even know if he's going to be around next year. So does this speed up the process for K-State to try to get some closure as to what Bill Snyder's going to do?
Right. Man, you know, I don't think that what David Beatty does, what Kansas does, you know, these are two different things in terms of recruiting. I mean, Kansas literally only has one football commit right
yep.
now. Mm-hmm. You know, and K-State has a class. It's a small one right now. But it's a class and it's got some talented players. They've got, and it's Kansas players too, you know, kids from Lawrence Free State and things like that. So I don't think that what David Beatty and Kansas did this past weekend has any influence on Kansas State and Bill Snyder's process being sped up unless word starts to get out on who KU is narrowing in on, uh-huh. on the new coach. And that coach is high on Gene Taylor's list. That's the only way I can see it happening. Because if you were that coach, you can't sit there and wait for a job to maybe open up. You have to take the one that's offered to you
right.
at the time. So, you know, let's, the hot name is Seth Luttrell. Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand why it's a hot name, whatever. Let's just use him as the example. Let's say KU has him high on their list, and I'm sure that they do. And they start to narrow in on him and realize that he's a realistic candidate, and Gene Taylor would really like him. And Seth Luttrell has interest in K-State, that's when you start pushing things. You start making it known to Coach Snyder that things need to happen. You know, that's the only way that I see the David Beatty and Kansas situation influencing this. Because other than that, I don't think you can worry about what KU's doing. I don't think you're really affected that much with recruiting. You know, it's not like K-State's going to go from the number 8 or 9 Big 12 recruiting class to the number 2 or 3 recruiting class by simply changing coaches this year. There's just not that many prospects left out there that they're in on. So that's really the only way I see this affecting K-State.
All right, let's talk about the game on the field coming up Saturday. K-State's 11.5-point favorite. KU comes into town, and the numbers are really good for K-State, really bad for KU. K-State's won each of the last 9 meetings, 22 of the last 27 dating back to 1991. The average margin of victory of the last nine years is 28 points. And Bill Snyder's 22-4 all time against KU and 12-1 in Manhattan. And 3 of those 4 losses came within his first 4 years in Manhattan. So the odds, the numbers are in favor of Kansas State to win again. I know a lot of K-State fans have been worried for a while. I think you've been a little bit here and there in regards to, well, you know, Kansas is capable of coming into Manhattan and winning a game. KU hasn't won a road game in the Big 12 for, well, you were in high school, I think, at the time. Riley, to put that in perspective, it's been a while. And certainly Kansas is due to win a game on the road in the Big 12, and if they're ever going to do it, this might be the opportunity. But I don't know, man. I'm just not – I think there was a better chance if KU would have let Beatty completely go and they were playing under an interim coach. I don't know if this makes sense. I think that would have been a little bit better situation for Kansas going into this game. Now, you could argue they're going to rally behind David Beatty even more so because they do like playing for him. They do give great effort despite the score, and that they might rally around David Beatty and find a way to take one from Kansas State. But I'm just not quite seeing this scenario unless this team, this K-State program and the team and the players are fractured and just don't want to play hard for Bill Snyder. And I just find that hard to believe when it's going to be your rival coming to town.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, too. You know, I think that KU is going to come out with some fire because you know, while it was the right decision to fire David Beatty, I do believe that these players like David Beatty. Mm-hmm. I think that they wanted him to do well, but just at the end of the day, he wasn't the guy for this job. And there's not many of the people out there that are.
Yeah.
And so he was facing, I guess, almost an impossible challenge from the start. But also at the end of the day, I think this K-State football team is not that bad, you know?
No.
They're not worse than KU. Yes, their records are bad. Yes, the stats don't point to there being that much of a difference. I get it. K-State's not that bad. K-State's not in that place. And, you know, as much as people want to sit here and say that KU is going to rally and play for David Beatty, let's not forget K-State still has something to play for, too. And, you know, that's pride. You know, technically they still have a bowl game to play for, but I don't see them winning the next three games. But, you know, my favorite thing, and it happens every year during KU week, D. Scott Fritchin, who works for us, he posts his Travis Oakes story. And Travis Oakes, for anybody that doesn't know, was a linebacker back in the late 90s. And a teacher once told him in class, you could go 1-10 every season, and your fans will still love you as long as that one win is against KU. And I think that still holds true today, you know. Obviously, people are upset with how this year's gone, but you just can't lose to KU. And I think the players know that. I think they know what this rivalry means, and especially in a year like this where things aren't going well, you need to find something to hang your hat on. You need to find something that you can say that you're proud of, that you accomplished, and that's beating KU. You know, no matter how bad things get, you've got to beat your rival, because, and especially in a year like this where KU has admitted that the program is in a bad place, that the right guy is not leading it, if you lose to that program, if you lose to that team, then you've got questions about your own program. So, you know, I think K-State's going to be equally fired up, just as KU. I think it's going to be a close game. You know, honestly, I think it's going to be maybe a high single-digit game or a very low double-digit game. I don't see it going much more than 14 points for whoever wins. My gut right now says K-State's going to win it, but I think it's going to be a close one because I think both of these programs are struggling right now, and but they're both going to come out with quite a punch here because they're both going to want to win this game really bad.
Who knows what we'll be privy to? I mean, maybe Coach Snyder's already told his team, you know, this, I'm going to be done at the end of the year. Maybe before the game against Kansas on Saturday, he says, this is my last Sunflower Showdown. Who knows what goes on, but there's a chance maybe that if you want to keep playing for Coach Snyder, play hard for him to, you know, play inspired as well. And we might not be privy to that information until the season is over. We don't know. We're not inside that locker room. But I know one thing, if you need that extra motivation in a rivalry game, whether to play harder for your coach if he's going to be leaving, or in this case, David Beatty, he is going to be gone at the end of the year, I don't know how great you were really fired up to start with, because if it's a rivalry game, it shouldn't matter who your coach is. You should be fired up and ready to go, especially when KU has lost so many to K-State, and especially on K-State's side, you're defending your home turf.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know. And, you know, people always said in basketball, you know, the Jim Woodard years, or heck, even the Frank Martin years when they didn't win a whole lot, you know, it's people say, how is this a rivalry? KU's won X amount of however many games. I don't even know what the numbers are. And it doesn't matter to me if KU wins 100 straight, if KU wins 50 straight, if K-State wins 15 in a row. It's always going to be a rivalry.
Yeah.
It's always two teams that don't like each other. It's always two fan bases that don't like each other. And it matters. And it doesn't matter if it's a 28-point spread or if it's a pick 'em in Vegas. You know, I think that this is a game that matters to everybody, and no matter how much they want to downplay it, no matter how much they want to say that it doesn't matter who wins this game because it's clear who has the better program, it matters on a year-by-year basis. It's bragging rights, and you can't tell me that if KU wins on Saturday, KU fans won't be just as excited about that win as K-State fans are when they beat KU in basketball. So don't ever tell me that this isn't a rivalry, no matter how bad each team is, because I will always see it as a rivalry that two teams love to play.
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally hear you on that. Quick note, K-State men's basketball team, just the one exhibition game. They beat Pittsburgh State by 40. They got Kennesaw State to start the season on Friday, then Monday against Denver. We'll talk with Riley more about the K-State men's team coming up next week. K-State women winning last night, exhibition game against Pittsburgh State. So we'll talk more hoops with Riley next week, unless Bill Snyder announces his retirement or something, and then who knows? We might be talking about that the entire interview next week. We just don't know. All right, time for the off-the-wall question. National Donut Day was yesterday, Riley. What's your favorite kind of donut?
It's so tough because, like, I have Varsity Donuts here in Manhattan, and I love it. They've got this one called the Flat Tire, where it's just like it's a donut, and it's got like a frosting, like a white frosting over the top, and it's got Oreo chunks sprinkled on top, and I really like that. Wow. But if you're telling me that I can go anywhere in the world or anywhere that I want for one donut, I'm going to Clay Center, Kansas. I'm going to Tasty Pastry, and I'm getting their cream-filled nut roll.
Wow.
That's what I'm going with.
Wow. It's like you've thought this out. You didn't even know the question was coming.
Every time I drive through Clay Center, I was wishing that it's earlier in the morning because I always go through it like, 11 o'clock or 1 o'clock, and they're not open, so I can't get one.
It's always good to ask you food questions. That's why Whataburger's in your open, for crying out loud.
Oh. I had Whataburger twice and would have had it three times this past weekend if I didn't. I spoke up against it. I said, we had it on the way down here. We're having it tomorrow on the way back. Let's eat something different.
Well, good for you. Standing up to Whataburger. Way to go, Riley. Proud of you.
I'm out here fighting the good fight for my organs, I guess.
Selectively. Yes, absolutely. All right, man. Well, we're going to see what happens. Could be interesting today. Could be interesting between now and when we talk to you again next Tuesday. What are you working on GoPowerCat.com right now? What are you not working on?
Exactly. We're getting ready for, an announcement might come. And if that's what happens today, if that's what happens tomorrow, we'll have a ton of Bill Snyder stuff out there. And then also we've got a lot of basketball stuff cooking right now on top of the regular football content right now. This is officially overlap season, which is the most stressful yet most fun time of year. So it's definitely interesting. I guess that's what I signed up for. That's what we all sign up for in this business. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, we look forward to seeing what you have in store, whatever comes up on the horizon. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks, Riley.
All right, Wade. Sounds good.
Take care. Riley Gates at GoPowerCat.com. Check him out online and follow him and subscribe. Do everything you need to do to read their work there at GoPowerCat. Do a great job covering Kansas State athletics. And a lot to cover, as Riley just referred to, when it comes to men's basketball, women's basketball, and, of course, the situation with the K-State football program. Go Powercats, Riley Gates, brought to you each Tuesday by our fine friends over at Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company.